Well, praise the Lord. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis of Someone Cares Ministry. Welcome to the broadcast today. We want to take you into a message entitled, How to Live Without Sin. I want you to know the Bible teaches that you can live without sin. If anyone tell you that no one can live without sinning and there is no such thing as sinless perfection, I want you to know that Jesus Christ did not sin that person to preach that message. Because the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, he that committed sin is of the devil, and for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus accomplished destroying sin in the life of the world and the people who would receive him and walk in him. For the Psalms chapter 4, verse 4 says, stand in awe and sin not. 1 Corinthians 15, 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not. 1 John 2, verse 1. Bible said, these things I've written unto you that you sin not. The Bible says in Galatians 5, 16, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You can live a life without sin. Let's go into the Word of God and prove that further. God bless you.
Thank you, Lord God, that you have blessed us with health. And we honor you for that, Father. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And while we have our being, we'll give you the glory. While we have breath in our body, we give you the praise. And Father, what a privilege it is to serve you. We thank you, Lord God. What a privilege it is to approach the Word of God in Bible study tonight, Lord God. We thank you. We ask you for the mind of Christ in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Ghost, Lord, who is the perfect preaching, teaching ministry of Jesus Christ. So we yield to the Holy Ghost tonight and realize, Father God, that as we open up the scriptures in this house, that the scriptures are being opened up out of these four walls. Lord, we pray for every radio station. We just thank you for pioneering the word throughout the states, the country, and the world. And Father, we thank you for the courage to speak what thus saith the Lord. We thank you for other doors, other avenues that you're opening up so that your word, Lord God, can go out and, Lord God, destroy the mindset of the enemy in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for opening up other venues in Jesus' name for populate the earth in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we come up against the Goliath in the body of Christ, and we thank you, Lord God, that Goliath is down in the name of Jesus. Father, your word go out and it will not return void. It shall accomplish what you will. It shall prosper in the thing whereto you sent it. And we thank you, Father God, that we have total confidence in the word of God. Lord, we thank you, Lord God. Let the words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O God. We give you praise and we give you honor. Father, your word have we hid in our hearts that we might not sin against thee. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name for what you're doing. Lord, we pray for this congregation of people here, Lord God. We speak blessings over them, Lord, as the word go forth, as your true grace is shed upon every person that darkened these doors. Father God, give them an understanding that the word is true, Lord God. The word is able to do exceeding abundant above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that the power that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in us. And Lord, because of that, Lord God, we confess with our mouth, believing in our heart, according to the scriptures, that we are able to do all things according to your riches and your glory by Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord God. We shall triumph over the enemy in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Amen, amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Okay, so we're going to review a little bit, and we're going to talk about the message Sunday, the truth about sin. And I'm going to probably ask a question. And the question is, what have we learned about sin since I've been teaching on it? You know, this is a subject that people don't like to bring up. We're going to bring it up. Amen. We can't sweep it under the rug. Amen. This is what got the whole world in a mess. And the church barely want to deal with it. You know, just leave it under. No, we're going to take it from under the rug, face it head on, deal with it. Amen. Because Jesus dealt with it. The Bible said, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. But if you hear most preaching and teaching, it's as if he didn't destroy it. Amen. If you listen to most Christians, it's as if he didn't accomplish his purpose. The Bible said a devil sent it from the beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, did he destroy it? Amen. So if he destroyed it, we want to make sure we know how to walk in the victory that he got for us. Amen. I want to ask the question tonight before I get started. What is the truth about sin that we've learned since I've been teaching on it? Anybody want to give a shot? Come on, Elder, because I know Elder be studying.
Well, I learned that God is bigger than sin.
Now, that's the, you know what? I said to myself, I'm going to ask this question tonight, and that was the one I was looking for. That was the main thing I was looking for, because out of all that I said, I was hoping somebody caught hold to that. God is bigger than sin. That's the thing we're going to have to get in our hearts and in our minds and settle it once and for all. Because if in the back of our mind, if we really think and believe that sin, you can't get around it, and we won't say with our mouth it's bigger than God, but if we don't think we can get around it, that's what we really saying, and that's what we believe. So I'm glad you said that, Elder, I want that to stay on your mind, that we've learned God is bigger than sin. Won't you repeat that after me? God is bigger than sin. One more time. God is bigger than sin. Amen. And we really believe that. Amen. He's bigger than sin. Okay, what else? Anything else was learned in my teaching the truth about sin? Anybody else want to give it a shot? Come on, Christy.
When God comes, if you're found in sin, you're going to be fixed that way.
Okay. And do you have a scripture on that?
You gave us a lot of scriptures on that.
Okay. Let's look at one. Because what happened is we want to be able to give an answer to everyone that asked. Let's look at Revelation 22, verse 11. I'm kind of laughing because I'm going to share. Well, before I read it, let me share something with you. There's a scripture that said nothing shall enter therein that defile. In other words, when God created a new heaven and a new earth, it's going to be pure, holy. There will be nothing in it that will defile it. Amen. No one can go in defiled. They had a lady call in to this show, a Christian show this week, and she said, what does that scripture mean about nothing shall enter therein that defile? And you know what the preacher told the woman? He told her, that means that whenever God get ready to let you in, you won't go in with sin. In other words, his emphasis was no matter how much sin you got in your life, when you get ready to go in, you're just going to go in clean. And I'm like, now that man just gave his interpretation of that scripture. Amen. Because the Bible says when we die, our works shall follow us. What we're doing while we're living will follow us. Okay. Now, if that's what's going to follow us, and then the Bible said God going to judge us by our works. Okay. So now how in the world, if you die dirty, then God just going to wash you up and then let you go in clean? Well, if that's the case, everybody going to heaven. Going and resurrect the peoples out of hell. Why did they even go to hell, you know? Glory to God. But anyway, we got to watch when preachers give you what they say the Bible saying. Anytime a preacher, y'all listening to me? Anytime a preacher tell you the Bible means this, be kind and ask him, show it to me in the scripture. Show me where the scripture says that. Because I'm telling you, preachers give their interpretation all the time, and a lot of people are not aware of it. Okay? That's why I hammer on sticking with the scriptures. Okay, let the scripture interpret the scripture. Glory to God. Anybody else? That's good, though, Christy. Let's read Revelation 22:11. Read that for me, Christy. Revelation 22:11.
He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still.
Now, in that same chapter, it says, I come quickly and my reward is with me. And this verse says that when he come, let him that is righteous be righteous still. Let him that is unrighteous be unrighteous still. That Bible is simply saying that when he come, how he find you is how you stay. So the goal of every Christian is to get out of sin and stay out of sin. Bottom line. Okay, anybody else? Okay, go ahead, Sister Peggy. I'm just going over a few things to see while I was teaching on the truth about sin, what was really learned and what stuck with you.
Yeah, in the book of Ezekiel, I like when he was talking about the righteous man.
Right.
If he is righteous and he forsake the righteous way, then mm-hmm. I think God would not remember his righteousness.
Right.
But if the unrighteous man turn from his unrighteous way mm-hmm. and then have to do that with his right, then God will remember that.
Right, right. How many of y'all, that was your first time hearing the other side of that? Okay, because we all know that when we repent and come to God, that all of our unrighteous life is wiped out. And justification says we are justified, which means it's just as if we'd never sinned. Okay, we've heard that many, many times. But what we haven't heard enough of is when you go back to sin, the Bible says that your righteous record is wiped out, and now God holds no record of your righteousness. And we see scriptures all over the Bible to match that. We only dealt with the two in Ezekiel. We went to one in the New Testament, but it's all over the Bible. Maybe we'll get to cover some more of those. And that shows us that Jesus Christ will be justified when he look at those that say, we cast out devils in your name. We healed in your name. We did many marvelous work. Those were people that once knew God. And how could Jesus say, nah, I never knew you? Because when they died in their unrighteous state, their righteousness was wiped out. And Jesus can justly look at them and say, I never knew you, because of his justice. Okay? So if he's righteous and wiping out your evil past, okay, he's just as righteous as forgetting your righteous deeds. All right. Now, tonight, what I want to do is I want to show you some practical scriptures to prove how easy it is to live a righteous life. And what I'm going to try to show you tonight is that we have literally made up some sins that don't even exist. The church has made up a lot of sins that don't even exist. And that's why most people think it's absolutely impossible to live without sin, because we made up a bunch of them. And we literally made it impossible to live a life without sinning. If we're going to conquer sin, we have to change our mindset regarding it. And we have to do away with all the made-up sins. That's what I'm going to talk about tonight. I'm going to say it again. If we're going to conquer sin, we have to change our mindset regarding sin. And we have to do away with all the made-up sins. There's a lot of made-up sins in the church. Okay? Now let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2.
Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead.
Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, mm-hmm. I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Now, if anybody want to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, do you know the key to doing that is changing your mind about some things? If you just change your mind about some things, you'll have a transformed life. That's what the scripture is saying. Now, I'm going to read it in the King James. It says, I beseech you, meaning I plead with you. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, if this apostle through the Holy Spirit is pleading with the church to present yourself to God, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, what would make us think we can't do that? But most of the church don't believe you can do this on a day-by-day basis for the rest of your life. You see? Now, some people say, well, maybe you can do it a few days. No, every day you read this is going to say the same thing. Yeah. Amen. And that means every single day of your life you can live like this. That's the first thing we got to settle, okay? Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, God said this is reasonable. So it's unreasonable to God to present yourself to him any other way, okay? Verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world. In other words, we have to make a decision. I'm not going to conform to the world. I'm not going to be like the world. I'm not going to let the world fashion me. I'm not going to let the world mold and make my thinking. The Bible said we in the world, but not of the world. And that's how we got to think. I refuse to be caught up in the world's way of thinking. In fact, I purposely think different from the world. If I see a commercial, I think different from the commercial. Because I know all of them got a mindset. Amen. We got to get the mindset of this Bible. The scripture says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you renew your mind, you'll have a transformed life. So if we're going to conquer sin in our life, then we got to change our mindset. And the first mindset we have to change is God is bigger than sin. That's the first thing you got to file in your brain. God is bigger than sin. Then you can make it personal. God is bigger than my sin. You see, because look, let me tell you something. I love the life that I walk in now, walking in after the Spirit, but I haven't always walked there. But before I start walking there, I had to change my mind. I had to change my way of thinking. I had to desire God more than anything. The key to living for God is loving him more than you love yourself. That's the key to living a successful life with God. You got to learn to love him more than yourself. In fact, that was the first message Jesus really preached. He said, unless you do this, he said, deny yourself. But he said, unless you do this, you can't be my disciple. Amen. So people like to come to church and be church members. But to be a disciple, you got to love God more than you love yourself. Because if you love God more than you love yourself, it's not a problem to deny yourself. So we have to get the mind right. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Watch this. When you renew your mind, when you start thinking different, watch this. You'll prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, why would I let a preacher tell me I can't live like that? When the Bible said, if I renew my mind, I will prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God in my life. Every one of us can prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God in our life, but it comes by a change of mind first. True repentance is a change of mind and a change of heart. Hallelujah. Okay, so we're dealing with, if we're going to conquer sin, we have to change our mindset regarding sin. And we have to do away with all the made-up sins. Now, I want to look at a few of the made-up sins. Okay, go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 3. It says, whose adoring, let it not be that outward adoring of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold and the putting on of apparel. Now, I don't know if everybody remember this or not. I know Judy and I remember this because we used to be in some churches where they call holiness the way you dressed. Brother Harvey, seemed like you knew a little bit about that. Now, people used to take this scripture right here and boy, they would get down on women. You know, and they took this scripture right here and made up some sins. Women couldn't wear lipstick. They couldn't wear jewelry. They couldn't plait their hair. I see a lot of y'all in sin tonight already. If That's true. Amen. And I'm just giving you an example. Now, it's a lot of churches done got over themselves, and they are not so heavy on this, but in the back of a lot of people's mind, some people still think women sin when they do this. I'm serious. Some religions still think this. And they made up doctrines like a woman shouldn't wear nothing pertaining to a man. So if a woman had on a pair of slacks, they made that a sin. All of these was made up sins. There's a lot of made up sins. And the preachers preach these things as being sin. And what has happened over the decades, the church got a mindset of something being a sin. And to God, it never was a sin. We got a lot of made up sins in the church. And we got a lot of made up sins in our minds. Because when God began to deal with me with all the false doctrines I had, you'd be surprised how many mindsets was cast out of me. You know how they was cast out? Every time the word of truth hit me, it cast the mindset out. Because I made up in my mind, I'm going to believe this book from cover to cover in context. And when I started doing that, it was a lot of things that I thought was wrong. God wasn't even concerned about them. Mm-hmm. And I went around thinking I was sinning every day. Amen. So y'all see what I mean by some of the made up sins? That's not what that scripture talking about. That scripture is just simply saying, telling the wife that don't let your beauty be that of jewelry. Don't let your beauty be that of the way you dress. Don't let your beauty be that of the way you do your hair. It was never saying don't plait your hair. It was never saying don't wear jewelry. But what some people taught in the past is this was sin. These were some made-up sins. So if we're going to conquer sin, we got to do away with all the made-up sins. Now, that's just a little example. Let's try to look at a few more. I remember most churches preached about it's a sin to go to the movie. Anybody still think that? Now, if you think it's a sin to go to the movie, I won't ever go to a movie around you. Because the Bible says, meat offend your brother, don't eat it around him. Do you know I used to think that I was sinning and I would never step into a movie? Wow. Seriously, y'all laugh, but I'm serious. You remember some of this, Brother Harvey? It was a lot of made-up sins. Amen? I went to the movie, the other night, 4th of July with my wife, and went to sleep. I usually go to sleep when I go to it, amen? So how am I sinning if that's a sin? Amen? Okay. They got doctrines about stuff you eat, you know, don't eat pork and don't eat this, you know, and Paul simply said that all creatures is good. Paul said nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving and prayer. But there's some churches and some people that made certain foods a sin. Mm-hmm. See, if we're going to get rid of all the sin in our life, we got to first of all do away with those made up sins. There's a lot of things we think is sin, and God ain't got nothing to do with the scripture. Amen? Y'all kind of see where I'm going with this? A lot of made-up sins in the church. Okay, let's look at something else here. Let's go to James. James chapter 4 and verse 17. Okay, it says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Okay? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now you really need the Holy Spirit right here, because I'm going to try to give you an example. And I shared it one time when I was up preaching. There's this pastor in town. He and I just straightforward with each other, and I love a relationship like that, because I like good constructive criticism. Now, some people can't handle that, but I like that. You know, some of us made up like that. Some people get their feelings hurt fast and they don't like that, but that's just my makeup. I like good constructive criticism, and I love correction. Amen. Most people don't like correction, but I love correction. So this guy, he and I have a strong relationship. And So we just straight up with each other. So one time we was on the internet, and we wasn't using no bad words or nothing, but I was kind of strong with him on the internet. And I didn't know that offended the father until he told me. And here's what the father told me. He said, don't do that no more, because there are weak peoples out here. And they, see, those computers, they have what they call cookies. So whatever your conversation you have, whatever you're doing, is forever seen. And what the Lord told me is that somebody that's weak could see that and it'll make them stumble. Well, I didn't know that was offensive until God told me. You see? See, I didn't. Now, once he told me, don't do it no more, then if I cross that line, that become a sin. You see what I'm saying? And so, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. I didn't know. And once I knew how he felt, that was it. I'm not crossing that line, so I'm not sinning right there. And that can be in every other area of your life. And I'm going to try to show you something in a few minutes. If you would stay within the written word and a clear conscience, you will never sin. If you would stay inside of the written word, and then, now, none of us remember everything we've read in the Bible, okay? That's why the Holy Ghost is there to bring things back to your remembrance. And now, if you start doing something that violates what's written, you may not remember what you read, but your conscience will deal with you. Yeah. See, when your conscience deal with you, your conscience is going to only deal with you when, because the Bible said that your conscience is seated in the Holy Ghost. When you're born again, Paul said it like this: my conscience bear me witness in the Holy Ghost, which means when you got born again, your conscience been purged from dead works to serve the living God, and your conscience is seated in the Holy Ghost. So whenever your conscience talk to you, guess who's talking? God. Your conscience. So if you stay within the word, you know, okay, and a clear conscience, you will never sin. You can walk with a clear conscience. And if you start doing something, your conscience bothering you, stop. Turn around. I'm telling you, walking with God is the easiest thing there is. The church have made it the hardest thing in the world. It is so simple to walk in the Spirit and walk with God every day and not sin. It is not hard. The Bible said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. He said, a way of the transgressor is hard. Amen. The way of a person walking in the Spirit is easy. But now here's the key. You got to love God more than you love yourself. If you don't love God more than you love yourself, it's going to be hard.
Praise the Lord. We're just about out of time. That's it for today. But I want to refer you to our webpage for more free teaching. www.someonecaresministry.org. That's www.someonecaresministry.org. If you'd like to call us at 225-272-6647. 225-272-6647. This is Apostle Lewis saying we love you, we thank God for you, and remember, someone cares for you, and his name is Jesus.
Someone cares for you. His name is Jesus. Someone cares for you. Someone cares for you. Someone cares for you. His name is Jesus.